This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
I could have gone to L.A. Like, I really had thoughts of, like, if I'm going to go more in a pop direction, artist-wise, L.A. seems like the place to be. But I was like, I want to write country songs.
Welcome to episode 408, Lily Rose. Which, by the way, she kills it on TikTok.
Yeah.
I knew she was crushing, and I knew Villain blew up, and I knew, but I didn't know really how popular she was. I guess I don't just go looking at metrics sometimes, unless you write them down for me, but she has almost 1 million TikTok followers.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Lily Rose Music Official on TikTok. So Lily Rose is awesome. Here is her song, Villain. You can be the hero. I can take the fall. We featured this on the Women of Our Country in April of 2021, but it blew up. I love the song. In My Drinks, we featured this on the national show too as well. Here you go. And finally, her current single is called Sad in the Summer. So I knew of Lily. I don't want to say I watch her on Instagram because that feels like a creep, but I do. I watch what she does. And first time we met was at the ACMs, and we talk about that. And I said something to her, and I was like, she's not going to think I'm for real. And I'm just a big fan, and I am for real. So it's pretty cool. I really like Lily.
Yeah, she's like effortlessly cool.
She's like effortlessly normal with us. I mean, it's like she just was like one of the group. I mean, it's the group's us three, me, you, and her. But it's like sometimes there's a whole period where you're, okay, are they cool? How's this interview going to go? But she just like sat down, and it just felt like we were hanging out, which is super cool. So I don't know. I really like her. Her music's awesome. She's out now with Sam Hunt on the Summer on the Outskirts tour through like September. Then she goes out with Shania. She got new music. More music this year?
Yeah.
Did she say that? Okay. Here she is. She's Lily Rose, 28 years old from Dunwoody, Georgia. She had a dad who worked in broadcasting who sparked, you know, her interest in music. She taught herself guitar at 9 years old. She downloaded TikTok and she did Villain and away she went. I'm a big fan. She signed with Big Loud in January of 2021. Big Loud is where Morgan Wallen, Ernest Hardy, Jake Owen are, and that's the deal. Episode 408. Here she is, Lily Rose.
I was when that fire, I guess in Canada, and my phone was like air quality bad. All right, there's a fire in Canada. How's that going to affect me here? I mean, it rocked me. And then, you ever been to an allergist?
No, but I need to.
Never been to an allergist.
Yeah.
Thought it was like something only rich people did.
Yeah.
Funny thing, I got rich. So then it's like you got to go to an allergist because it's also part of like my doctor's plan. And I was like, I'm not allergic to anything. Like food-wise, I'm all good.
Yeah, sure.
So then they start, I got rich thing is fun. It's a joke.
Yeah, no, of course.
Kind of. Yeah. But anyway, they dig holes in your back. And then they put all of the things that you could be allergic to in the holes. And so
it's like a lot of holes too.
It's like 20.
Yeah.
It's like they dig out a little hole and then put like ragweed.
It's awful.
Asian pollen.
Yeah.
And so when am I going to be in Asia to experience their pollen? We can chill on that one.
You never know. You're rich.
Right. Well, yeah, true. I forgot about that. I forgot that I'm rich. Never be. But I came back and I had a couple things, but once a year, these allergies hit me so hard that I lose my voice completely.
Yeah.
As a singer, is there something does it happen to you at all on any sort of schedule? Or what is it for you that's the hardest about keeping, because we both get paid for our voices.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for me, it's just the vocal warm-ups and, you know, I never really understood it growing up of why you need a vocal coach. It's like, but I can sing. And it's like, it's the same way that athletes need trainers is to just learn how to warm up and cool down correctly and, you know, elongate the muscle and all of it. But it's for me in the fall. It's like every fall I end up getting sick. And I never had allergies growing up as a kid. It's just like the last 3 or 4 years. And my dad
said
it. You
got rich. And then that's what comes with it.
We're working on it.
Yes, more taxes and allergies.
Yeah. Always.
The vocal exercises are interesting because growing up, what age did you start singing where you actually tried?
Like 15.
You probably, and if you did a little, that I would understand that, but you probably didn't have the education on what you needed to do, warming up, making sure you don't scream your voice out up until, you know, you kind of got here and you really start to be around people that understand. So all these years, you're just ho-hum, ho-hum, singing wonderfully, but not really taking care of it. But what is crazy about the mind is that I have some friends who never had a vocal injury their whole life until they started learning about how they could get vocal injuries. And then they got a vocal injury.
Dude, I would play like 80 to 100 shows of bar sets. So like 3 and 4 hours, would never cool down, would never warm up, would drink my way through all of it. We'd take like 15 minute breaks in between. And it was like, I never lost my voice, never came close. We'd do Thursday, Friday, Saturday runs. And then now we play 30 minute sets on like a Sam Hunt tour. And I'm like, I can't even handle this. I think it's a mind thing.
I think a lot of it's a mind thing, but also I think that you're doing it right as well now, right? Because athletes need to stretch. You made a great point. You are a vocal athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but, and so am I in a different way.
Sure.
But yes, but it is probably, I have a friend, this has nothing to do with reality, but he was telling me, he was like, I never got polyps. He's like, I've never got polyps ever. I've been singing at a high level. I'm not kidding. Like 3 weeks later, he goes, bro, I got a polyp.
Yeah. I'm just going to say.
I don't believe in the jinx.
Yeah, no.
But that is just, that's bizarre.
I have a ton of polyps. Universe.
Yes, all the time.
I love polyps.
You can't have enough polyps. How you been?
I've been good, man. We were just talking about, I feel like when CMA Fest hits, for us as touring musicians, it's kind of the like, here we go. And we're just in that part of the year right now. Festivals and craziness.
What is here we go? Because I've had to do CMA Fest from a different level. I used to go and host some things, but then I would also play some things that I was also doing my radio show. For me, Here We Go meant I hated it. Yeah. What does Here We Go mean for an artist who, there's a built-in audience here.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
No, I mean, for me, the performing and the meet and greets are my favorite part of the job. I really enjoy it. So it's just Here We Go of like, these are going to be long days, but it's cool. And that's, you know, it's CMA Fest is the start, but then you get to festival season and like, we're grinding it out in a van right now. So sleep's not great, but you're with a bunch of people that you love and it's your dream job. So Here We Go is a good thing for me. I love it.
I guess it's the tone in which you say it. Cause if I go, Here We Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks.
Here we go.
But Here We Go.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Having a blast.
Mike, I really go, Here We Go. Here we go. Mostly it's like, Here We Go. God dang. I've been a fan. I mean, first time I heard it, I was like, dang, literally good. And then, I don't know, life just went on. We didn't meet or anything. I don't think we met until ACMs in Dallas.
Yep, about a month ago.
And so, but I knew who you were because when you came up to me, the first thing I said was, hey, congratulations on getting married. And it's weird because I'd never met you, but social media allows you to kind of like know somebody.
100%.
At least kind of.
Yeah.
And then I start to wonder, because I said, hey, good to meet you. And I hate saying that when I've met someone. So mostly I just say, hey, great to
good
see you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I learned that from you. You said that like on a podcast 4 years ago and it saved my ass.
Except I remember saying with you, good to meet you. And then I felt terrible going, have I met her before?
Yeah.
Had I met you before?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good. That makes me feel good in that I wasn't a douche there. But it makes me feel bad that I'm late to the party-ish. But I was a fan of Villain and I did know about you. And I even follow you personally, right?
Yeah. So, well, thank you.
I don't think I told Mike this. So you used to listen to this. Where did you work by the Opry?
Yeah, so I worked at Under Armour and American Eagle at Opry Mills and would work
in the mall.
In the mall.
Got it.
Yep.
Yeah,
I would. I worked the 4:30 shift. So like, I would either work 4:30 in the morning to 10:30, and I'd miss y'all's show like completely. Like my hours were your hours.
Hold on. You go to work in the mall at 4:30 stocking?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So I could get out and ride at 11. Trying to get a pub deal.
Still, yeah. Oh, that's here you go.
Or but I would still. Work the 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. shifts.
How did that sleep schedule work, the 10 p.m. to 6?
It's awful.
So would you sleep like 4 or 5 hours and then try to go write?
Yeah, I would come home, sleep for 2 hours, go to the gym, try to write. And I mean, I didn't have a pub deal. I had like no presence on Music Row at all. But I had those 5 or 6 friends that we all wrote with each other, no deals. Mackenzie Carpenter was one of them. She ended up writing Villain with me. But yeah, we'd do that because we were all working at Starbucks in the mall and trying to get it. But I always tell people, I'm like, this podcast just taught me of like, Dan Smyers had to steal food at a hotel lobby with Andy Albert. And like, everyone's journey is different. And I'm not going to get a deal at 24. Might be 25. Might be 35. I don't know.
And also, as hard as it is and as lonely as it feels, and I don't mean this in any way but complimentary, what you're doing by working those places, that's pretty normal for people.
Yeah.
Because there are two kinds of people that come to this town. People that don't have a lot that want to be a lot, and people that have a whole lot and that have a backup plan and they want to be a lot, but if not, they're cool.
Sure.
And the people that have to go hustle,
yeah,
they're hustling for a reason.
Yeah.
Because
you don't know how to do anything else.
That's it. And you got to survive.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like you got a mommy and daddy's $1 million sitting there ready to, or you wouldn't have to go work at American Eagle. You could literally just sleep all day and then go write.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, how do you write true stories for the country music fan base if you haven't gone through anything, you know?
I was always a fan of American Eagle more than Abercrombie. Here's why. When I walked into Abercrombie, I felt like they judged me more. I can never afford Abercrombie.
Yeah.
Actually, now Abercrombie's cool again, which they have some nice stuff now.
I wear only Abercrombie now.
I wear Abercrombie stuff too. And first time I went and I told my wife, I was like, I'm way too old and to be in here. She was like, no, they have good stuff again. So they've kind of, but there was a span of like 10 years, even when I was in high school, that I went in, but I felt way judged. You ever see Pretty Woman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I felt like that. But I never went back and did the whole thing where I'm going to buy the whole store.
Yeah.
So I felt way more judged there than American Eagle. And then sometimes Abercrombie would have ripped up dudes up front. And I just made me feel worse about myself because I wasn't a ripped up dude. And I would be like, well, I don't look like that. I don't even want to walk by that ripped up dude because he's going to look at me and go, well, you're not ripped up like me. You can't wear these clothes as good as I can. So I just was off on Abercrombie. So American Eagle, A+.
Did you ever watch that documentary on Netflix about all of that? It was like the downfall of Abercrombie, of how they just pretty much were only trying to target hot people and were pretty much on their ads, like saying some messed up marketing way of like, if you're not hot, you can't wear Abercrombie.
Is there enough hot people to sell to?
I know, right? But they ended up like firing the CEO, board got like absolutely just cleared, and they started over from scratch.
Well, they really missed out on 30 bucks or so over the course of about 2 years.
Right.
But I was a big American Eagle guy. Yeah. So you did that. You said American Eagle. Where else did you work?
It was American Eagle. Under Armour was my main gig. Mm,
that's cool.
And then like American Eagle has that other brand, Aerie. That was in there. It's actually how I met my wife, which is wild.
She shopping in there?
No. So she was on the Las Vegas Strip. You know, they have like the 3-story Nike stores and like all that. They were opening an American Eagle and an Aerie. For some reason,
here,
they sent
in Vegas.
And for some reason, they sent like their 10-person management team to train at Opry Mills for 2 weeks. She was, you know, head of merchandising, and we met, fell in love. It's wild.
And how long was she supposed to be there?
2 weeks.
And did... How long from when she got there and you met until you guys actually started like falling for each other or dating, or did it happen after she went back?
So it was the last night. They had been out on Broadway for like 9 days in a row. And I was like, hey, let's go to East Nashville.
You didn't
Let me
go
take
with them?
You? No, not on Broadway once. Okay. I was like, last night, let's take you, do what we do in town. Go to Five Points in East. Let's go to Losers for Whiskey Jam. And like,
but
and
you must
that.
Have already like been crushing a little bit then if you're asking her on night 10.
Well, like we kind of were, but I was like with the whole crew, with like everyone.
Got it.
So, I mean, like we kind of were, we think back and we're like, wow, we didn't even really interact while we were working together for 10 days, but really hit it off that night. And then she flew back to Vegas and we talked every day, and I flew out there 3.5 months later. Rest is history.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of rest is history there. You flew out there.
Yep.
But then what? Did you go back and forth? Did she go back and forth?
Yeah, we did long distance for about another year and a half after that. And then she moved to town the week before the tornado in our one-bedroom apartment. We got hit. Had to go to a hotel.
What do you mean you got hit?
By the tornado.
Yeah, I mean, but what, like, what, actual damage?
Yeah, like broken windows and glass, snow. Like
literally, it
yeah, like we were right there at Von Elrod's in, like, Germantown. So we got hit.
Well, you move here and get hit by a tornado right when you move here?
Right when she moves here.
What the crap?
And then we got put in a hotel, and then we had to leave the hotel because it was COVID, and they shut down the hotel. So we went from long distance, 2,000 miles away, to being in a 500-square-foot broken apartment locked down for COVID.
And how did that go?
It was great. We're married now, so we ended up enjoying it. It was a good time.
Similar-ish. I met my wife. And we didn't, nothing, I won't say it was nothing, but it was nothing.
Yeah.
Like, hello, how's it going? She was a friend of a friend. And so I have I met her through doing PR, but she was from Oklahoma, not my wife. She was doing PR for me at American Idol and Dancing with the Stars, all my ABC stuff, but she was from Oklahoma. And she was like, hey, I want you to meet my friend. This is Caitlin. And this was just at a random thing. And she wasn't trying to set us up, but they're both from Oklahoma. I said, hey, how's it going? And I honestly thought, I'm not even going to try. Because at the time, Caitlin was going to grad school in L.A., but I didn't know that. I thought she was just an L.A. girl.
Yeah.
I didn't want anything to do with the L.A. girl, mostly because they didn't want anything to do with me. So it was one of those where, you know,
of course,
you go ahead and protect yourself by going, oh, I don't like you anyway.
Yep.
So we talked for a second, but that was it. And for like 2 months, we didn't communicate at all.
Nothing.
And then I found her on Instagram. I was like, hey, I'm coming to town. I'm going to shoot this other show. Let me know if you're around. We'll hang out. And so we hung out, and I was there for a couple nights. We went out, you know, like 3 nights in a row. It was awesome. And then I came back, and we did long distance for some months, and then COVID hit. And I said, you know, me being the wildly intelligent guy I am, I said, this COVID thing's not going to last long. You'll be here for like a week.
Yeah.
Like, this thing's not
going to last.
And so she came for like a week, and that was it. But she stayed, and it was the whole time because, as you know, COVID took a while.
Yep.
And so, but we were together every day.
Dude, that's wild.
And it was really, because I'd never been in a relationship before. I never told anybody I loved him before, ever.
Neither had my wife. She'd never dated women or been in a relationship.
You're her first woman?
Yeah. So, like, we had that same thing, too. Of like, those 9 days we worked together, neither of us thought anything. Even when I went out that night, I didn't have that thing in the back of my head where I was like, oh, that girl that I have a crush on that's been there. I was just like, oh, I'm just going out and drinking with these people. And then we finally hit it off on day 10. But she was definitely in denial.
Wait, did,
as well.
So, was she, but she was, was, to you, was she straight?
Yeah, she like only dated men, but never been in a serious relationship.
Got it.
Yeah.
And I had been in sort of relationships, but lots of trauma.
Yeah.
But then I never told anybody I loved them.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I said it to her, I meant it. And I probably should have said it even earlier, but it was like a boulder that couldn't,
it's just for sure. Yeah.
But then I said it, and then it was just on, and it just felt, it wasn't like this fairy landed on my shoulder and exploded. It was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
More than it was some sort of get shocked in the junk by lightning, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. And my wife is just very much that way as well. Of like, she always told her family, you're never going to meet anyone until it's the person I'm marrying. She would always say, the dude that I'm going to marry.
So she never took anybody to meet her family?
She never said, I love you, took anyone to meet her family. She's like the most sure of herself human being that I've ever met, which was, I immediately was so attracted to her. And she, she meant it when she said that. She'd never
brought
anybody home.
That's really cool. Did you know before she said it to you, because my wife did know that I'd never said it.
Yeah.
Did you know that she had never said it before?
Yeah, I knew. And, you know, it was like that night we went out and in East Nashville and everything, and then she flew home. We FaceTimed every day. Like, we fell in love and learned to communicate on the phone with, like, no touching. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like when you get in a fight with somebody, you hope you can kiss and make up kind of thing. And we learned really how to
communicate. I thought you were going to say punch them. I literally thought you were like, when you get in a fight with somebody, you know, you like to punch and strangle them. Got it. The other way. I felt that. Go ahead.
Hey, that is my biggest regret in life, that I never got in a fight. I think I'm too old now, but.
And we'll get to that. Cause me too. Go ahead.
But yeah, you know, so we did so much communication on FaceTime and everything. I learned every in and out about her more than I would have in a normal relationship where you're seeing somebody every day.
Well, because there are no distractions.
Nope.
You know, if you're phoning it, you've got to kind of be dialed in.
Yeah.
And you got to kind of have a point. It's like, even with us talking here,
yeah.
I got things I want to know. If the conversation tends to go somewhere else, great. I'm going to follow it and see where it goes.
Yep.
Same thing there. I can't really get on my phone and just dick around.
Yeah, we can't just sit on TikTok, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing in the same room. It's like the only way we're spending time together is actually communicating.
And then you went from that to being in COVID where you're just with each other all the time.
All the time. And I was working from home. I was working for Warby Parker at that time, doing customer service phones and delivering groceries and stuff. So I was like, I was home all the time. She got laid off because of the pandemic. So it was a lot of time.
How did she tell you she loved you? And did were you ever like, hey, when are you going to tell me? When are you going
to
tell me?
No, it was that first night that I finally flew to Las Vegas and we cooked dinner and watching Breakfast Club and I was beating around the bush and she was just like, I love you too. Just say it. And I was like,
nice.
Yeah.
Where me, it was like, she's like, are you okay? Are you having a seizure? So it's a little different.
She did it.
Yeah, I did it. I did. I love you.
Hang tight. The BobbyCast will be right back.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
And we're back on the BobbyCast.
How long ago did you get married now?
It's been two or three months. Yeah, yeah. March 25th.
How was the wedding?
Best day of our lives. We did it right at the bridge building on the pedestrian bridge right there. Mm-hmm. That weird roller coaster thing is.
When you're working these jobs, because listen, I've had a ton of jobs too outside of just doing this. But are you doing these jobs going, I'm just doing this until I can make enough not to do it? Or are you doing these jobs going, I'm working because I got to pay the bills and hopefully one day I can just, I don't, the mindset's different for everybody. Are you, is it a means to an end?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It was for me, you know, I think so many people in my life, including my now in-laws, you know, when I met them, they were kind of like, okay, wow, our daughter's bringing home not only somebody they love, but a girl. Like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm an artist and a songwriter, but I don't have a deal yet. So I work at the mall and I deliver groceries and all that. And now everyone's kind of like, wow, the hustle. But I think a lot of people judged me of like, why are you doing these these are hard part-time jobs. It's not even like it was like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, drive Uber during the day. It was like, I had one goal at the time. It was to get a publishing deal. Cause I was like, the way the town works is a pub deal first and then maybe go into a development deal, label deal, whatever it is. So I had one goal and I was like, how do I make the perfect amount of money while none of it's compromised? Like if you found me on Instagram and you wanted me to come in for a radio show or Leslie Fram wants me to come in for a meeting or whatever it is, I don't have to call out of work. Like I have my days open for whatever opportunity.
Very linear thinking. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I try to find the best way to go from A to B without anything stumbling in the way. What kind of student were you?
Awful.
Really?
It's like I have a lot of street smarts and just never could do the academic stuff. I don't know if I have ADD or ADHD, who knows, but I just couldn't concentrate and I just didn't really care. I was that kid, I went to private Catholic high school, but it was like the biggest private school in Georgia. So 250 kids in my class.
Man, and I was, that's big.
Yeah. And I always joke, I was like, I think we had 250 and I finished like 251 academics wise.
Okay, if you had a private school, why are you having to work so hard?
Because my parents knew that I had the hustle thing and they were just like, go get it. And I just didn't ask. I probably could have asked for a little bit more, but I enjoy the hustle. Sometimes I sit here and I like see help wanted and I still think, yo, should I apply for that job? And I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have to do that anymore.
I like that. That's,
you know,
and two, it's like all the work that you're putting in now, even if it's not work at your job, but all of the hard work that you're doing, it's also a respect that's being developed and an appreciation that's being developed. And you have a lot in common with a lot of people here. You also can write songs from a place too. There's just a lot of that that goes into, hey, I'm just going to go here with a bank account and just try to meet people. Like, I respect that a lot.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It's I enjoy it. I think if you don't have some little bit of a chip on your shoulder, you can kind of get lost and
why do you got a chip?
And jaded and everything because I want it too bad.
What's your chip? I got 80 chips. I got a bag of Lay's.
Yeah,
What's your chip?
No, I've really learned this in the last like month or two about myself is my biggest red flag is that I want it so bad that I get caught up in the comparison game. I get caught up in the shit talk.
Yeah,
I get and all of it. And sometimes it's to my own detriment, you know, and in this town, it's a small town. But my biggest thing, I think back to when I was in high school, it's like, when I want to do something, I will do it. I just never wanted to do the studying in the grades. I ended up with the most attentions and it was in the end of our class academically, but for some reason, like I was the teacher's favorite across the board, even with those two factors. I think I just always really wanted to put my efforts towards work and athletics and music and relationships.
Did you play sports?
Yeah, soccer and basketball my whole life.
What were you best at?
I was like the kid until about eighth or ninth grade, and I just never got faster. So I was good at being slow towards the end of
But you were the kid, if you had to pick one, were you a better soccer player or basketball player?
Basketball, probably. Yeah, definitely better at basketball, but it was fun. It was hard for me. I was always the leading scorer in the league or whatever it is in middle school, and then I didn't get any faster, and I kind of started falling behind, had to transfer high schools at one point. And
did you work hard?
Yeah, I was always the first kid in, last kid out.
I would have bet that.
Yeah, couldn't make it work. It didn't click, and it wasn't until senior year when I really started adopting the artist thing that I would go and I'd do like the talent show and then throw my basketball jersey on and kind of have that solace and acceptance that I'm on the bench. And I'm like, yeah, but I just did what I'm supposed to do before this.
When did you start playing music at all or caring to learn music?
So my cousin, who was like my older brother that lived in Atlanta, we spent so many holidays and weekends with him. He was 4 years older and he taught me how to play like drums, piano, guitar. So when I kind of really started showing interest in just rhythm and music, my parents got me a drum set when I was like 9, which I'm so grateful for.
The first instrument was drums?
Yeah.
For a 9-year-old, that sounds like it would be pure torture to live in a house with a 9-year-old that had drums.
It probably was.
And got him like an electric harp that I couldn't even hear. Like, here's your first instrument.
Yeah, here you
go.
Wow. But they must have seen something. You know, I was too young to kind of recognize it. But I just grew up in a household where everyone loved music. Like, my parents didn't play, but my brother and I both do. All of my cousins do. It's really bizarre. But, you know, after dinner, they would let us choose, all right, you each get to choose 3 songs that we're going to dance to. Because, like, we just all had this crazy love of music. And they would always let me stay if, you know, there's somebody playing Garth Brooks covers at the Mexican restaurant. I'd be 5 years old and I was like, can we stay for one more song? And they always said yes. They always just let my musicianship kind of be present, which I'm grateful for. And then started playing guitar when I was 12, kind of taught myself that. And then this girl, Taylor Swift, came along.
Never heard of her. Tell me more.
Yeah, right? And she and I are the same age, roughly. So when she was like singing about being 15 in the hallway, wanting the senior boy, LOL. But I was like, that's me. I'm 15 in the hallway feeling alone and wanting to date the senior boy and all that stuff. So I started writing songs.
You said LOL. Did you still want to date boys as a senior?
No, I went to private Catholic school.
Oh, you're right. You went to a Catholic school. I guess that
was in the South, like in Atlanta. And yeah. I didn't have a clue that I could be myself that early, let alone ever be myself. So yeah, I think I was in straight up denial, but always.
Would you go to college?
Yeah, I did for 5 years in Athens, Georgia.
For five?
5 years. Majored in life, minored in friendship, baby.
So you're a Bulldog. You have the Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
Massive, massive SEC guy. Big Arkansas
yep.
guy. Congratulations. You guys are awesome at everything and it sucks. And I hate it. And I hate you for that, but I'm going to get away from that.
Hey.
But so you go to Georgia. Was that the dream?
Yeah. So I didn't even go to Georgia. I went to the really small school.
You went to Athens and went to a different school that wasn't Georgia?
You could not get into the University of Georgia if you lived in Atlanta, especially if you're a private school kid, without like a 4.1.
I'm surprised there's another school in Athens.
Yeah. University of North Georgia. Nighthawks, baby.
So you go to UNG.
Yep. UNG, and the plan was for me to do that for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then transfer to UGA, but I really picked up on the music stuff, and I was also working at the University of Georgia in the gym. I had like 5 jobs.
But you worked on campus at the University of Georgia.
Yep, so I was like faculty staff, so but I still got the exact same experience.
There is some truth to that ish.
Yeah.
If you're there a lot, you're getting to do a lot of the stuff, because a lot of college is just being there.
Yeah, 100%. And like, Athens is wild. So for me to get to be a part of the student recreation center and like all of that every single day, that I ended up working my way up to when the professional staff salary people would leave at 5 o'clock, I ran the second biggest student union gym in the country. Like that was one of my jobs that I did. So I was extremely immersed in the Bulldog community because I love it so much. Mm-hmm. But academics wise, not a shot.
I never went to the University of Arkansas because I couldn't afford it and I had to work. And I always hated that. And I was always embarrassed of that because I'm so proud of it. And I've just a big part of my personality. It's my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah, right?
Mine too. It's the only consistent thing that I had growing up was I knew when the games were. And no matter where I lived or who I was living with or where, it was always on. Like that's my consistency. And I still hold on to it for that. So I'm so passionate about it. And that's why I love it. But I was always just so embarrassed because people would be like, where'd you go to school? Well, luckily, I now can say I'm an alumni because they gave me an honorary doctorate.
Yeah.
So now people are like, where do you go to school? I'm just like, Arkansas.
That's
kind of, it's kind of a lie, but
that's,
you know.
The goal.
Yeah, it's.
But I'm with you. I mean, I truly would run out into the street for the University of Georgia.
I wish a whole lot of you fans would.
And yeah, then right. They
would just go away. Yeah.
Repeat. Hey, my drummer's Woo Pig. So.
But you're not as annoying as Alabama fans.
No.
And not near as annoying as Tennessee fans.
No. Oh, God. They're the worst.
And maybe because we live in them.
Yeah.
And I often say, because I do a sports podcast, I often say, if I don't like your fan base, it's because I'm annoyed that you probably beat us.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, that's because rarely.
That's how we feel about Alabama all these years. Yeah.
Rarely do I go, oh, man, you know who I hate? Man, Kentucky football.
Arkansas is always hard.
Right. So it's like Kentucky basketball, maybe I get annoyed at.
100%.
But it's always a compliment when I hate a fan base. I like individuals and that I like individually a lot of Tennessee fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's like more than three, I like to push them off the bridge.
Yeah.
Together as a group.
They just, they think that they're a little bit better than they are right now. But I'm glad you guys beat Alabama, though.
Sing Rocky Top all the way down as I push you off the bridge. Are you playing shows in college?
Yeah. So freshman year, I started doing open mics and stuff like that where I could play like a cover and an original. And there was this one bar called Boar's Head that they did it on Wednesdays. And I just kind of chipped my way through of like, I would do the Wednesday night open mic and then they would offer me, hey, do you want to do the 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday slot for $100? Like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, do you want to do the Friday? And then it turned into like, we were kind of the biggest cover band in Athens.
Oh, you had a group.
Yeah, so I eventually, you know, when they're paying me a little bit more, like, you know, $250 for a four-hour set, but it's after a home game and it's packed and it's wild, you're getting tips and all that. It was dope, but I really just want to play my originals. I always had that thing where I was like, this is dope and I love being on stage, but I don't want to play other people's songs. So I would also try to route us and go and play in like coffee shops for hour and a half gigs where we can play, you know, hour of originals and 30 minutes of covers. So we got up to about 100 shows a year through the Southeast that I didn't have management, booking, agents,
out of
PR.
Georgia, you're talking about the whole Southeast, like South Carolina, Florida, all that.
North Carolina.
How are people finding out about you?
They weren't. It was, you know, it was definitely like the most word of mouth thing ever. But I mean, we would maybe be able to we could sell out shows in Atlanta, like Eddie's Attic and Smith's Soul Bar, 300 cap rooms.
Were you calling other places in other states being like, hey, we're coming through. Do you have, or
were like,
people hear about you in bars?
All like email. Yeah. So there was this like, it was called Indie on the Move. And it was just a database of clubs and bars throughout the country. And you could kind of put your radius and whatever you wanted to do and literally just would email. When I moved here, I would sit at Ugly Mugs in East Nashville and spend like 8 hours a day emailing places.
It sounds like what politicians do.
Yeah.
For a while, I thought, and I still think I will eventually, but I thought I would, even this last election, go run for governor of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Oddly, both sides were coming after me, going, hey, come run on our side, come run on our side, because I definitely, socially, am definitely more of a Democrat when it comes to fiscally and, you know, we could go to all.
Me too.
I definitely have super conservative views in ways, but then again, I grew up on welfare. And
sure.
So I just think I'm not in the middle, but I have things that are oddly polar about me on sides. And I grew up in the South and I had guns, but I'm also like, hey, everybody shouldn't have a freaking gun.
100%.
And people don't understand what the Second Amendment even was. All of that to be said, it was, hey, you're going to run for office. We'd love for you to run for office. But you understand 5 or 6 hours a day, you're on the phone asking for money.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
My cousin does that for a living for DeSantis, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Just calls and says we need, and it's all money.
She flies and, you know, does the handshakes and knocks on the doors and it's all wild. But yeah, you're just the CEO of yourself, you know, like it doesn't matter how successful you are. I still feel that way now where my whole team, everyone in town kind of laughs because it's like, if there's an after party, I am there and I will be the last one there because I want to make sure that I just know everybody in town because you never know. You got to work for your brand.
And it's definitely like you're running for office.
100%.
It is.
Yeah, relationships are so important.
The Bobby Cast. We'll be right back.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's Place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
Something that I'm not good at, that you are, just because I experienced it myself a couple months ago, is that you're very warm and you'll go up and just be direct and be like, "What up?"
Yeah.
And it's almost scary. I'm like, "What did I do?" Oh no. And I do, and I really tried. I tried not to be that Nashville person that's like, "We should do this
for sure, for sure."
Because I hate when people do that.
Yeah,
to
the
me.
"We should write sometime."
We should write. We should hang out. Yeah. And I remember talking to you, and I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna get you on."
Yeah.
Like, and if I would have been me, and I would have heard that from you, I'd have been like, "Okay, this is just what people say when they see each other at places like this."
But I actually believed it when you said it.
Good,
you know,
because I meant
it. Yeah.
And I left going, and I told Mike, I was like, "Hey, let's try to figure this out." And I was like, "I bet she thought I was full of crap."
No, that's your reputation. You're not gonna say anything you don't want to say.
That's a good part of it, maybe.
I know. Hey,
that's the good side.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
So, okay, when do you move here? Why do you move here? What was that?
Yeah. So I'd, you know, been in Athens for, it was about 4.5 years, and there was no sights of graduating at all. And I wanted to drop out since sophomore year. But my dad and mom were both like, "No, you got to stay in school, but we'll support you going to do the music thing and all that." I was working all those jobs, and I looked at my dad and I was like, "I'm going to Nashville." I really wanted to go to Belmont my freshman year. And my dad
study music?
Yeah. And my dad was like, we're not paying all this money for you to go learn how to be on stage and write a song. Go to Athens. Plenty of music things to do there and figure it out." And I'm so grateful for that, because I thought I would have learned so much at Belmont, and the connections and relationships are just unmatched, music business wise. But I learned how to be on stage. I learned what it was going to be like if my tuner goes out in the middle of a big song, and how to run Ableton, and how to be a boss on the road, and all of that, that I would have never gotten if I had moved directly here.
You moved to Nashville.
2017.
You got to meet. Really? Right, really?
Yeah.
When was the pandemic? What year was that?
2020.
Okay. I don't know what years are what anymore. I'm not even sure what year I was born anymore. I was
That's
like, when was the pandemic?
Like,
Hey, what year was I born? So you at least have a few years here.
Yeah.
You get here. Does it just seem, the word's not impossible. Does it seem just like it's so deep that it's just going to be so hard to finally get to the surface? Especially if you don't know anybody.
I didn't know anybody when I moved up here. I had one friend who now ends up running all of like Riser House's A&R, Kirby Smith. But she was awesome and would always take me out for lunch and answer my questions. But I don't know if I just wasn't there yet songwriting wise. I'd never co-written ever in my life. I always wrote 100% of my stuff. And I was sitting there and I was always just trying to write and be the next this. And I was like, "Oh, this song, I'm so inspired by that Ben Rector song. Let me go try to write one just like it." Or Bruce Springsteen or Katy Perry, Maroon 5, like all these influences. And then I started co-writing when I finally gained a little bit of a community here. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is my stuff." Like, I feel like I'm writing Lily Rose for the first time. And again, I didn't really have a genre. I still don't think that I do. I definitely have twang in my voice and country and storytelling, but I definitely didn't have a genre back then. And when we were writing all these songs, I was like, "This is country music. I'm supposed to be an artist in country."
The people that you mentioned, Rector, see Springsteen?
Yeah, Springsteen, Katy Perry, and like Need to Breathe was huge.
Are those all artists? Are they randoms that came to your head? Or like, who's your Mount Rushmore of, I'm not gonna say favorite to listen to, but like people that you think kind of shaped you as an artist?
Springsteen for sure. Katy Perry, for sure. I would say Maroon 5. And then, probably Rector. It's probably Ben or Need to Breathe would be in that last slot of the show. I always loved their shows. I would pay to go see them all the time.
You ever met Ben?
No.
Terrible guy.
Yeah, I've heard.
Just, he will...
Bad songwriter.
You turn your back, he will steal your wallet.
Yeah, cannot play the piano.
Just
it's awful.
Just a not sincere, just a terrible dude.
Yeah, I'm a big, big fan. I think I've seen
him
11, 12 times.
Have you met him?
No.
Oh, he's like literally one of my dearest friends.
Yeah.
He's the greatest.
Yeah, no, I bet.
And he does the greatest shows, and he's the most humble dude.
The only time I ever paid for VIP.
You paid for VIP, director?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I'm going to text him real quick.
Because I was just dying to see and do his Q&A with people. And I always thought he was so kind. I was in the middle of making my first EP at the time, too. And it's not a lot of times that you get to shake somebody's hand and be like, hey, I'm making my first record ever, and you've been a huge influence for me. And it's always kind of taught me when I'm doing my VIPs now to really make sure you're just intentional with every single person in line. You know? You never know.
He probably stole all his music anyway. I ripped it all off.
That man is independent. He's killing it.
Yeah, Ben's awesome. So you're figuring out who you are. And again, you didn't have a genre, but Nashville you can kind of come to just because the guts of this town's music. Of course, it's country.
Yeah.
But it's more than that because the songwriters are here. The studios are here. So I feel like you're country. I just wouldn't have ever thought you weren't.
Yeah, I didn't grow up listening to country. Like, my parents didn't, and none of my friends' parents did either. But seventh grade, somebody put on I Go Back on a boombox in my backyard, and I was like, what is that? And
but that's also okay. I really don't like are the people that are, well, if you didn't know, if you can't, you know, differentiate Merle from Waylon, and it's like, that is not fair.
Yeah.
Because you're cutting out such a wonderfully talented group of people that have the same fundamental country storytelling. We don't say country, but like storytelling sensibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, you just happen to be from the Southeast, but heck, you could have been from Southern California, but it's all an understanding and how you're doing the art more than anything else.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes, you know, when Villain exploded and I was really starting to do these interviews and press and stuff like that, I would get so nervous when people would rapid fire questions. You could have any genre or any era of country music, what would it be? And I was like, should I just be fake and say the 90s? And I'm like, you want to know what? Screw it. The Rascal Flatts era. Mm-hmm. I am like 05 to 2011.
And that's
country.
Honestly the most fun answer to get whenever you're an interviewer talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And I've made jokes about how people have to be like, you know, Cash. Now, luckily for me, I grew up in Arkansas, and Johnny Cash was from Arkansas. My grandma was obsessed with him, so sure. I had all that forced on me.
Yeah.
Had I had it forced on me, I probably wouldn't have found it, yeah. Right? So I don't think that there's a difference, really, in you hearing I Go Back in seventh grade and my grandma going, you have to listen to Johnny Cash because he's like us, he's from Arkansas. No difference.
I don't think there is either, and I'm so excited. When people tell me, I never liked country music, and then I heard you, and I'm in. And it was like my gateway. And I think Morgan does that for the genre the best right now for everyone. But it's like, what is the difference of, you know, everyone has, whether it's your grandma playing it for you.
And I got a bit. I mentioned this maybe one of the last two. I got a bit that I do in my stand-up act that I talk about how people make fun of. Well, that ain't country. Well, then the only things that are country are artists of color from Africa that brought the banjo over, or right. Europeans that brought the fiddle.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally...
Yeah, none of
that's
them.
The genesis of country music.
Yeah.
That's where the banjo comes from in the Southeast, was slaves coming over on the slave ship.
Yeah.
So it's somebody that's like, well, if ain't overalls and chewing on a straw and talking about his truck, that ain't country. It's like, the most uneducated people are the ones that say that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of truth in country music that doesn't have to revolve around
absolutely
trucks.
It really fires me up.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
Me too.
Just, whew. And country, I was not a cowboy. I was more of a hillbilly.
Yeah.
Some would say a redneck even at times, just from where I was. And so, yeah, I never wore a cowboy hat. I won't wear a cowboy hat now because I ain't a cowboy and I don't want to even act like I was a cowboy ever. But when I first moved here, but because I had done pop and hip hop and sports and alternative, and it was like, well, you're not country. I'm like, bro, why don't you come to the trailer park in Arkansas and tell me what I ain't?
Yeah.
You know, we're all
100%.
So, yeah, I hate that for you. That not just for you, but you, the understood you of people that are super talented, have a voice, an authentic message, and then you're told what you are and what you aren't.
Yeah, and it's like, and if you look at it, I've now loved country music for more years than I haven't. You know, like, I've loved it for more than half of my life now, so.
Yeah. Well, that being said, too, if there's like a pop star that is like struggling and they come over and want to do country, I'm like, all right, give me a break. But then there are some who love it, who come over, who like, Diplo. Diplo loves country music.
He loves country
music. And it's
music.
Not even his first foray into it, like with what you guys are doing together.
That man loves country music. It's been really fun to watch him.
He doesn't have to do country music.
No.
I guess is my point. Sometimes they'll be like, and I don't want to take a shot at him, like Bret Michaels, who was in Poison, who decided to launch a country career. He was super nice.
Sure.
But it's like, you're doing country because the other stuff's not working new, so you're going to come over. That I don't love.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I came here from Austin, I was killing it.
Yeah.
I did not have to come here.
Yeah.
I wanted to come here.
Yeah.
And that I like.
That was me too. Of like, I could have gone to LA. Like, I really had thoughts of like, if I'm going to go more in a pop direction, artist-wise, LA seems like the place to be. But I was like, I want to write country songs.
Whenever you said, hey, I'm a country artist, and you started to talk to managers or publishers, were they ever like, you got to date a dude? Can't date girls in country.
Oh, no.
Never.
But also, like, no one gave me the time of day until Villain.
Mm. So it was that, just they didn't say that.
Yeah, I legit had never been contacted or answered by a single person in town until I downloaded TikTok. And did it a little late, I guess. Not really in retrospect, but it's like 2020, and I saw Priscilla and Janakis both get deals, and I was like, I have good songs too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to download it. I feel too old for the app. I was 27 at the time. I was like, I'm not dancing or anything like that. And I put up every demo I had. And one of them did pretty well. I was coming over from Instagram with like 2,000 followers.
What was the one that did pretty well that gave you a little hope but wasn't filling?
Yeah, it was a song called Two Lonely People. People still comment and want it all the time, but it's not happening. but Rekia Marshall actually slid into my DMs. So she was working as a publisher at BMG at the time. She also dated Seth England. They now have a kid together and are engaged.
Got it.
But little did I know, she was trying to start her own company. But I just saw her as like, she works at BMG. Holy cow, I can get a $30,000 a year pub deal. She likes my voice, all this. And I went over to her house like 3 days later, met Seth, and we just listened through 15 songs, Villain being one of them. And I still give him hell to this day that they were kind of like, let's keep in touch. Like, I don't think the songs are there yet, but let's keep in touch. And I was listening to that Matthew McConaughey book, Green Lights, while I was delivering groceries at the time. And I was like, you want to know what? This is not a red light. This is a yellow light. I've just got to post everything. And I have to really dive into this TikTok thing. And we posted Villain. And I think it got like 13 million views in like 3 videos in a week, which like no one had done that yet in country. And Rekia Marshall was my first call. She was like, hey, you want to do a 50-50 master deal to meet with some record labels and get you a team together? I was like, absolutely.
For you to go, let's just put it all up. Again, that's what I like. There's just a theme of things that I like about you, but it's just generally in the same little world here, same brand. It's like, you know, when you put up all these videos, some of them are not going to get any traction.
Dude, the first video I put up, I said, if I get 50 followers today on TikTok, I will release the rest of this demo. And I got like 30 followers.
That's funny.
I still release the rest of the demo.
That's
funny. But I wasn't on The Voice or American Idol, and I didn't come over with tens of thousands of followers. And this, like, it was just truly bootstrapping from day one, even with TikTok. And I'm grateful. It's been cool, but
I feel like it's unfair. And some of the older artists, but I've seen this through a couple of generations, and even me working on American Idol for 4 years or so, definitely on the backside of that show. But when people are like, man, these TikTok artists, that same thing was said about all these people on American Idol and The Voice. That same thing was said about, man, they are first on Star Search.
Facebook, you know, like you don't think of Kane Brown as a Facebook artist.
Right. It's always going to happen. It's always happened.
Yep.
And it will continue happening with something else. And there's always going to be that 1.5 generation older group that's still somewhat relevant, but they're irritated that what they had to go through was harder.
Yeah.
I would compare it to people who don't want people's student loans to be covered. Because, listen, I'd have taken any student loans. Luckily, I was very smart.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have been able to go to college.
Sure.
So had all my school paid for from like my ACT score. But if all of a sudden they said, we're going to pay for everybody's student loans, I shouldn't go, well, I didn't get mine paid for. This sucks. They shouldn't get theirs. No.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do. That has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And so same thing with this. Well, they made it on TikTok. They did. But that doesn't have anything to do with you. And it's happened that way every single generation, decade. It's been something else that it's happened with.
It's just a tool.
And when it was happening to people coming off The Voice and Idol, I'm like, bros, if this opportunity or this was in front of you to go to this, to try, you would do it.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
And if you wouldn't, that's on you.
Yeah.
People make it every different way.
Every way. And it's been cool if we now have been around long enough that I don't think anybody thinks of.
I didn't even know you. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know you.
Good. That's been my goal from day one. And I was really lucky that I had leverage and I didn't have a single member of a team.
Mm-hmm.
Rakaia kind of starting as the nucleus. And I got to really handpick a team that shares the same vision back at the time of like, I don't want to be the TikTok artist. Let's make sure the narrative's not that. And also, I don't want to be the gay artist. I want to just be Lily.
You know what I like? I feel like this is me just pointing out things I like about you. And if that's uncomfortable, well, then that's weird. It should be really comfortable. Is that I didn't know you were a TikTok artist. That's fine. But the fact that you still brought it up, like I even like that you're like, I downloaded TikTok and away we went, because you're also not running from it. You're not screaming, hey, this is what
no,
I did.
No, it's facts.
Yeah. Because again, having really talked to a lot of folks on mics and off, if they got their first success from TikTok, some people are embarrassed by it now. And I'm like, you should not be. You shouldn't be embarrassed. It's like a model walking through the mall. If somebody sees you and you're just hot, you shouldn't be embarrassed that you didn't go into to these model calls. Yeah. You were just hot.
Yeah. I've gone through waves with it.
I would imagine.
Of just my biggest thing is I care a lot about what people think, and I do my best to not. But I was worried in town of just like other artists and people I respect a lot. I didn't know what they thought, but I was like, yo, head down. Years from now, nobody will remember me as the TikTok artist.
I literally did not know that was
good.
The start.
That's great. Yeah. Hey, it worked then.
That happened with some, and I've forgotten too, because again, success kind of camouflages all of the past that you do or don't want known. You have success, big things, shinier things, kind of keep your eyes looking at it more than the past. Even like Megan Maroney, I was telling her, it was like, you're not the TikTok artist to me anymore.
No, I don't even think of her that way either.
Right.
So
it's like Danielle Bradbury.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think she's probably still looking for the huge successes, but she's not the little kid on The Voice.
No, not at all.
Everybody has a job, and people don't look at me as the kid on KLAZ in Hot Springs, Arkansas, who begged to get a job and got lucky because somebody got fired after I was cleaning.
Yeah. No, it's... It's just a lot of little decisions that you make.
Yeah, yours has talent, though. Mine just happened to be there. I'm there scrubbing a bathroom. They're like, guy, you come in here.
Yeah, you got that hustle.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
Was your dad in broadcasting of some sort?
Yeah, he still is. He works for Cox down in Atlanta.
Doing what?
So he has been their marketing director for all their stations since I was a kid, since I was a baby.
And he's kept a job in radio at Cox?
He has been at Cox.
For how long?
For 32 years.
That's wild.
Yeah, my dad, you know, my dad made so many incredible sacrifices to be the best dad he could be, while also being the best husband and boss and friend and brother. And a lot of those where he did not want us to have to pick up and move, and my brother and I to have to go to a bunch of different schools and cities.
Because mm-hmm.
he turned down jobs in probably like San Antonio and Tampa and Dayton, all those Cox cities.
I just think it's crazy he's able to keep a job for 32 years in radio.
He's
in the worst industry ever.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is. But he's brilliant. Like, he's a unicorn, and they just find so much value in him. And
does he have naked pictures of the boss?
He doesn't.
That would be the question. Okay.
Not yet. Not that I know of.
I'm just saying. I don't really believe in the jinx, but I've been lucky enough to go for 27. Oh, God dang, I don't even like that number. But, like, 24 years?
Yeah. And he's been on the Bulldogs broadcast, so he also does the football. He's on the broadcast team for them.
Wait, what does he do?
He's like the pregame, halftime, and postgame guy.
He's on?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. He used to be on the Gary McKee morning show back in the day for Star 94.
That he does the broadcast, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I at one time, this is how awesome I think that is.
Yeah.
I at one time flirted with the idea in the last few years. I was like, I think I want to go be part of the Arkansas football broadcast team. And my team was like, it's going to cost you more money to get there and do that.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it doesn't pay.
No, that's my dad's hobby.
And you're going to have to fly. Usually somebody who lives there or move. And I was like, but I love it so much. That's such a cool. That's so. Like.
Yeah, it's the best. I mean, I did not have a choice but to bleed red and black. And we've seen every big game, gone to all the natties and everything.
If your dad's going to hear this, but that's pretty cool, man.
That's dope.
That is.
He is. He loves this podcast, even if I'm not on it. But
sad in the summer.
Yeah.
How do you and Diplo ever even meet?
Oh man, it was December of 2020. Holy cow, I just signed at Big Loud. And
right, for publishing.
No, for
Ours
label.
Still.
Label. And it was like right after Villain, and they sent me this whole playlist of like a bunch of songs. They were like, "Hey, I know you write all your own songs, but if you want any of these outside, here's like 25 songs we put together for you that we think you'd crush." And Sad in the Summer was on there, and it was like a guitar vocal. And Seth was like, "Hey, I want you to put your vocal on this song, and we're just going to send it to Diplo." And I was like, "It's just a guitar vocal. Like, what's he going to do with that?" And I did. I was super sick also when I did it, so my voice was really raspy. And we sent it over. I met Diplo that following Christmas. He DJ'd our Christmas party at Big Loud.
That's legit.
It was a time. But we all went to the Titans game the day before and got to hang out. And then just out of nowhere, in like August of 2022, he sent over Sat in the Summer. It was this whole like disco track. We kind of just sat there and waited
with you on it.
Yeah, with that exact
and you
same
know
vocal
it was coming.
We had hopes, but like, you know,
yeah.
Wes has Wes's timeline. He's such an artist that he does things exactly when he wants to. So we were all kind of like, yo, if he does Thomas Wesley too, mm-hmm. hopefully we're on it. And they sent that over and we were like, oh boy.
How do you play that in your shows?
Oh, it's fun. We, a lot of tracks underneath, but also it's a bit heavier, more guitar part on that. And yeah, we go heavy with it. A little halftime, headbanging.
Did people ever confuse you with Lily Rose Depp?
Yep. Yeah, but Diplo and I were like, yo, we should just start a duo named Lily Rose Dip and like throw it all off.
You know, it would break it.
I think it all off.
More so than it already does.
I'm going to have my pinnacle of success when you can Google Lily Rose and it's me first and not her.
Well, so I Googled today just to see. Mostly I do Google the news to make sure that nobody got done anything bad before they come in.
Yeah.
And you're all clear. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I basically did a background check. But there's only one thing of her before you.
Yeah.
So
it's good. I mean, she's such an artist and an entertainer. She does so many things, you know.
Her, blah, blah, blah. So. But I'm just saying, it's not like 10 things and then you.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We're climbing up, baby.
Exactly. You're almost where you want to be. So you're out with Sam?
Yeah, we start that tour in 2 weeks.
Oh, so you're not out yet? It hasn't
not
started.
Not yet. Nah, festivals right now.
Man, Sam's a good dude.
He took us out last year for about 5 weeks.
So you've been out with him.
Yeah. So for him to bring us on the entire tour this summer, he's the reason I moved to Nashville and not LA.
Do you like him?
Love him.
He's a good dude.
He's like my biggest influence in country music. When he put out that Between the Pines mixtape in 2014, I would sit there and just try to recreate all those tracks, teach myself logic, do all of it. And he's really what made me be like, I want to write. Oh, if that's country, I know I can go and write country songs.
Sam's the example to me of someone who a lot of people, when he first came out and had success, not I'm not going to say the majority, but a lot of people were like, this is not country. This is not what the music should be doing. Like program directors, like playlist creators, even people at record labels that weren't his. This is not it. This is not it. But when it popped so hard, then you heard all the other artists started to take elements from it. And it went from being what was far to the left or the right to it was what everybody else was trying to do. So he had like no one else would let him on the road. So he created his own road. And he's out driving on the road by himself, and all of a sudden, everybody's on the same road behind him.
I'm such a big believer. I've always said that. Of, you know, in Athens, I'd be able to pack out the bars and put 400 people in headlining shows. But if a country artist came through that was playing the Georgia Theater, they would never look at me. They would look at, you know, one of the dudes wearing jeans and boots and anything. Or Maroney, honestly, opened a lot of those shows that I always hoped I would be on. Too bad she's not doing anything.
Yeah, she's really let us all
down. I love you, Meg. Yeah. You are crushing. You got number one right now. But I just always had this thing that I was like, you want to know what? None of the superstars that sell out arenas and stadiums did anything that anyone else ever did before.
And that's
you cannot
why.
Be a carbon copy and become You're a superstar.
Right. I mean, it is so tough. And it's like you have to go through extra adversity if you're different. And you almost can't explode unless you're different. So the way to explode is to be different. But odds are, if you're way different, you're not going to explode. So you've got to believe in yourself so much, even if you're different, if you want to be a megastar.
Like every day, have to tell yourself that.
And it's hard. I've always been super different. And it sucked because I was always the guy that was too country to be pop. I was too pop to be country. I'm too not conservative to be on country radio. I have too many conservative parts of my how I live my life that keeps me from doing everything that I do is wrong, apparently, if you ask everybody.
I feel like sometimes I get viewed that way as well.
That being said, it's the greatest thing to ever happen to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only one.
Only one.
The only thing that we have is being honest to yourself and true. And I don't even lie anymore, mostly because I can't remember. That's actually most of the reason. Because I would just be like, tell great stories on the radio. I'd be like, listen to this happened to me.
Sure.
But I have learned now in my wise age that it's harder than normal to be great. It's hard. It's really hard to be great if you're different. But the only way you can really be great is if you're different.
Big time. And I mean, it's easier said than done, but I'm just grateful I've got a label and a whole team around me that just completely share that vision.
I don't even think you're that. I mean, you're definitely different doing it a different way, but sure. It's not like you have two heads on and an extra elbow coming out of your neck.
No, but
you know, but like Sam is my example. If he's yeah. not different anymore,
no.
he's what everybody wants to be. But at some point, there was a window when people were like, let's just throw Sam Hunt in the sea and hope he never comes back because what he's doing, this is not good or legitimate.
Yeah. I mean, and now it's like Morgan's about to have like 5 number ones in a row that have drum beats and track. And all of it in there. And
even Garth. And I've been lucky enough yeah. to have a relationship with Garth where I've opened for him and I've done things that I hang out with him. And he will tell me that they wanted to run me out of town. His live shows had elements of Kiss, had yeah. elements of.
He was too pop. Yeah.
And you can just, how we talked about Star Search Idol all the way up, you can do the same thing with That Ain't Country.
Yeah.
When Bob Wills, when his steel player plugged in the steel gets for the first time. They wanted to burn the place down because
yeah.
that's not country.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. A steel guitar, an electric steel guitar. And it's happened every situation. I'm going to say decade, inside of decades, forever. And it's always going to happen.
For sure.
And I'm just always amazed how dumb people are that haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely at the point. I was really lucky when I first started doing the TikTok thing and just posting videos. I was always very worried I was going to deal with hate in my comments and on my Instagram and stuff. I don't deal with any hate in the comments. It's when like the ACMs post about me.
Yes.
It's or like
when
CMA.
The traditional,
I can't
right.
because it's just like people telling me that I'm not a human being. And I'm just yeah. like, oh, okay, wow. So you definitely have to, no. You gotta remind yourself every day of like, they told Garth that he wasn't country either.
Well, they tell me I'm a human, but I'm just an untalented human that
yeah,
doesn't
right?
deserve it.
Yeah,
but,
hey,
so
yeah, yeah.
I do feel bad for you. But
it's no, it's dumb.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. It's just, I'm just a fan.
Thanks. I am too.
You're really good at this. It's hey. Like you're so easy to talk to. This
Appreciate
is crazy.
You.
It's like the greatest first date ever, Mike.
Yeah.
Hour flew by.
Come
yeah,
on.
We've done an hour here.
Oh, let's go.
So music, what about, what else? Like what's, I hate the question, what do you have coming now?
Sure.
But give me something like when do you plan to start putting stuff out?
Yeah, so I did another 8 or 9 songs with Joey Moy and then I'm now working with Paul DiGiovanni as well. So it's going to kind of be a split record. We're hoping to have out by the end of the year. Fingers crossed, but we've got a lot of songs.
No record. One song. When's one new song coming out?
I don't know yet.
Okay. That's a good answer.
Yeah. I'm kind of cool with the patient game and going dark a little bit while we really ride this Diplo song. But the songs that we have out are so different than anything, or that we have ready to go, are really different than anything we've done before. And I took a lot of outside songs when I first signed, and I've gotten to write a lot more. So it's been great.
And if they're different, they're probably not going to work. However, they shouldn't probably work because they're different. But when they do, and God dang it, if they do,
hey,
it's going to be awesome.
I'm all down. I'm every single song that I just trust it, and it's the perfect place in my wheelhouse where I sing, and it's different are the ones that pop. So I'm just going to keep going.
When you're playing shows, because you're out with Sam, I only got a few minutes left, but
yeah.
I like injure my groin or like my hip flexor. And I got to work out in like an hour and a half, so I've been doing cryo a little bit to kind of help the inflammation. Not because I believe that's doing anything except that, just inflammation. So I got to have an appointment, or I do this for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
That being said, when you're are you the baby with Sam?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So who's the middle?
Brett Young.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Whenever you're driving around in a van, and I just want people to know, because the one constant has been your drive. I'm not going to say hustle. I'm going to say your drive. When you're driving in a van to these shows and you're making what the baby makes, you're not making a lot of money right now.
No. We do really well in merch, which helps balance out a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But also, to do well in merch, you got to go stand at that merch table for an hour and shake hands and take photos, which is one of my favorite parts of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm with 3 dudes that are in my band that also have been working at this for so long that feel that same, that drive and the just tenacity,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's been great. But I feel like we got a bus coming soon. I hope.
Oh, yeah.
You're, and we're right there. But
and I'm going to tell you, the fact that you've been in a van makes the bus so much.
Yeah, 100%.
It makes it worth it. And you never want to go through anything hard, but you really don't grow unless you go through something hard.
Yeah, and I mean, we also have the best times in those vans. It's like,
I'm sure you do.
You know, like,
when I first started touring, we were driving around in a car.
That's what
all over the Southeast. It sucks.
I always tell everyone, they're like, "Sorry about it. It's a Sprinter van this week," and I'm like, "Yo, it's better than a car. I used to be in the car."
And for a year, I'd finish the show on Friday. We try to beat five. We do a show, and then we just drive overnight in a car, and it sucked. And then we start driving in a van.
I was going to say, you don't drink, so we have a little bit more fun with it.
That I can see. And then the van, I was like, this is awesome. I can lay down. And then it gets sucky again. And then when you get a bus.
It's a game changer.
Hey, just wait till you get a plane.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Fingers crossed.
When are you going out with Sam? When does that wrap up?
So that is like beginning of July through the end of September. And then we're out with Shania Twain for 13 shows.
Dang. How late does that go?
November. Yeah. And then headlining after that. We're road dogging.
Are you done in November until the next year?
Yeah, you know, and then there's always the Christmas radio shows and all that. But touring wise, for the most part.
You should come up. I don't know if you could even do it, but I'm one of the shows that I'm doing. It's easy driving a car to Louisville. You should come up and open up that show. I only pay $1,000, but you don't have to do anything. It's
dude,
like there's no money
I do it
to
for
pay
free.
Back. No, you don't have to do that. But I think it's super because then I'd bring you up on the radio show and I'd have. It's so political when I bring guests up because I have to deal with all the bull crap. And mostly I don't care. But then my boss gets into not trouble, but then he gets pushed. And then he comes not down on me, but he's like, but anyway, we should try to figure out a quick show that you don't have to drive a van to. Because yeah. I'm doing some super close. Like Louisville's 2 hours.
Like right there.
Yeah.
And dude, beyond in.
Well, I'll have my people call your people.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I'm just a big fan.
Hey, me too. And thank you. This is such a bucket list. If I would have told 2018 Lily that we finally got to do this, I don't know if she'd believe it. So
and
thank you.
Then we'll get you up on the show and it'll be great. I'm just a big fan. I've been following along for a while and it's super cool to see what's happening and
how
you're making it happen. And there's a difference in something happening and a difference in somebody making something happening. And then it happens.
I appreciate it.
Mike, anything you want to say? I feel like this has been the fan club meeting mostly of Lily than anything else.
Oh, no.
It's been great. Yeah. You're not dying, though, right?
Yeah, no, okay. Not dying.
Announce it here, though, if you are.
It'll be
the club. So what does he do, the guy?
Dylan, here in the corner. It's my day-to-day manager.
Oh, you're the manager.
Yeah.
Dylan, how'd you feel like this went?
I thought it went fantastic.
Yeah?
I thought you all would have known each other for 20 years.
I feel that way, too. That's why I said it. It just felt so freaking normal. Yeah, cool. Scoot up to the microphone. What do you not like about her?
I like everything. I am a Tennessee fan, though.
He's not.
Well, I don't like that about you. But here's the thing, Dylan. You're wearing a Vandy shirt. And that's kind of bull crap when you were another team.
The man is from Missouri and has been a Mizzou fan since I've met him.
Okay,
so
I have no respect for you. Turn this microphone off.
Well, here's the funny thing. I wear the Vandy shirt to look a little bit smarter. I went to Belmont. I did go to Belmont.
You feel like four colleges just bitching.
I know.
I had an existential crisis. When my brother-in-law, he coaches Utah. We coached Utah softball, and they went to the College World Series for the first time. It was awesome, and I struggled wearing any other school other than Arkansas. And my wife is like, this is family. No one's going to think you've switched schools. You can wear Utah. And I thought, you know, Utah's not a threat to me. So I'm going to wear Utah only at the game to support him. It's family. I also love him. I'm super close to him. Now, that being said, my wife is a massive Oklahoma fan. Massive. Her family all shoot me dead before I put anything Oklahoma on.
No. She
won't wear anything Arkansas. So I've only been a one logo guy but you being a four logo guy with no family it kind of shows who you are.
It's true.
Yeah.
Your true colors are flying through here right here.
Whenever they start winning, that's when I'm on board.
Dude, I'm the same way. My dad, we did not have a single ounce of orange in our house. Not allowed. Not allowed.
Mizzou was not in the SEC whenever I was growing up. So
Big 12,
in, you know, Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
So falls.
All the excuses. Come on, Dylan. Keep going.
It's a lot. Okay. I still feel dirty for in Utah, but I understand why I did it. Yeah. You prefer. You're out looking for a new team every day here.
It's true.
Word on the street is all team Dylan. Yeah. You got a free shirt, he'll wear it. Got a free shirt.
It's
all right.
Facts.
You guys followed on Instagram at Lily Rose Music, on TikTok, Lily Rose Music Official. We'll put it up in the notes here. Sad in the Summer, which we played before Lily got in here. And I'm just rooting for you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Keep killing it. Keep pushing.
Thank you.
It ain't over till you quit, so don't quit because you got it, man.
Unless I die.
Yeah, then it's the whole ghost thing. Like, you're going to come back.
I'm going to haunt Mike and Dylan's dreams.
Exactly. All right.
Just wait until this airs, though.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to a BobbyCast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.